Hello and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Self. Can I just start by saying a huge thank you to every single person that has pre-ordered my book, The Third Perspective, Brave Expression in the Age of Intolerance. Listen, it will never get old. Saying those words out loud, saying the title of my book, it will never get old. Thank you so much for supporting me. I have mentioned this quite a few times in previous episodes, and I'll continue to say it until publication, but your pre-orders mean the absolute world. They make a very big difference, especially for first-time authors, because they determine how many books actually go to print. They signal to the publishers, to the media, to everyone that there is demand for this conversation, that people do want to know more about this message, about this work. And also, another little fun fact is that you do not get charged until publication day. So if you pre-order the book, no money is taken from your account. Okay? So go into the show notes where you will find the pre-order link, but you can type in The Third Perspective on whatever search engine you use, and it will take you to either an independent bookseller or to Amazon, Waterstones, Blackwells, Barnes & Nobles. But your support means a great deal. Another thing that I want to add is that if you have pre-ordered already, or if you're going to, I have a little surprise for you. You are going to have access to a companion guide. What the fuck is that? I will tell you. Okay, so I don't want you to have to wait a couple of months or even a month or even a few weeks before we can get started, okay? I've put together some really intentional prompts for you. I've put together a bravery framework that I want you to start moving through. And then we are going to be gathering in a private group once the book is actually out. But I want us to start doing this work now. And for people that have pre-ordered, I'm going to have a few spontaneous virtual gatherings until publication day. So you and I are going to get started before you even have the physical book in your hands. So go to any one of the two links in the show notes, drop in your screenshot, your receipt, whatever it is, just proof of purchase, and immediately in your inbox, make sure you put in the right email. Immediately, you will receive the companion guide, okay? Send me a DM or an email when you do get it, hello@africabrook.com. And we can start having conversations about it. But I'm very, very grateful. I'm very excited. And the episode that you're going to be listening to today is a revisited. It's the Rejecting Urgency Culture episode. And I wanted to bring this one to the fore again, because I seem to be having so many conversations with people that are feeling pressure, people that are feeling that time is moving by so quickly and they haven't got anything done. There's a lot of comparison in the air, okay? And I know that I have so many new people in my audience, so I just want to give you a taster of what Beyond the Self is about. So if you start listening to this episode and you're like, oh, I've listened to this one before, continue listening anyway, because there might be something that lands even a little bit differently. But I appreciate you. I'm very grateful for your time. Please do order The Third Perspective. Let me know when you do so I can say thank you. I think that's about it for me. I'm about to do some work. I'm about to do a surprise silent focus session over on Instagram, actually. And I'll be doing more of those over the coming weeks and even months. But I'm very, very, very happy and excited. And again, filled with so much gratitude. So thank you for your time and for your attention. Make sure that you're following, that you're subscribed, that you comment, review, all of the things that allow for this work to spread far and wide, and enjoy the episode. What I wanted to do in this episode, it's not me telling you what to do, but it's me talking about the importance of rejecting urgency culture by sharing some of the things that I am going to be doing personally, and also just riffing out loud with you as well. One of the things that I want to make sure that I do this year in order to reject urgency culture and any kind of external pressure is to honor my own timeline. There is so much beauty in honoring your own timeline. And here's the thing, you can do that while also making sure that you're not avoiding the discomfort that comes with doing something new, with finally following through with the things that you said you were going to do, because I know that a lot of us are planners. We plan, and especially the kind of people that listen to this podcast, I know you. I can see you right now. There's a look of recognition on your face. We are planners. We are idea generators. But the execution and the following through part can be very hard. It can be very hard, especially when procrastination rears its head, when perfectionism rears its head, when some kind of discomfort begins to show up because you can see that this might actually work and you're not prepared for what that looks like. And we're going to have that conversation when we talk about the truth of the fear of success. But you can still honor your own timeline and make sure that you're looking out for those self-sabotaging behaviors. So for me, I want to honor my own timeline. When I think of that word that I referred to earlier, simplify, that's what that reminds me to do. Anytime I feel the urge to push myself in a way that doesn't feel natural, because here's the thing, I do like a little bit of pressure. I like feeling uncomfortable. I like feeling stretched. But sometimes you know when things don't feel as natural as they could, because you're doing something that is out of integrity, because you might be doing something from a place of comparison and proving, and not because you're actually grounded in what you're trying to do. So you can still look out for all of those things while honoring your own timeline. Something that I've always said to myself, even when I was starting my own business, when I started to really get into the groove of being a CEO of my company and working with the amount of people that I do, and even just my visibility growing in the way that it has, there's been so many offers to do different things. There's been many different suggestions from me and other people, so many projects that I've tabled, so many ideas that I've been close to executing but didn't. And the thing that has been driving some of the decisions that I've made from a very grounded place is realizing that I'm in this for the long haul. There is no rush. I'm not on anyone else's time. If it takes me 5 years and 10 years or even 15 years to actually do something specific, then it takes as long as it takes. If it takes me a little bit more time to get into the groove of my business, to earn at the level that I want to earn at, I always told myself I am in it for the long haul. There is no rush. And at the same time, I can spot my own bullshit. I can see when I'm delaying. I can see when I'm telling myself that, oh, I'm in it for the long haul. That's why I'm not ready. And to be like, Africa, actually, that's a fucking lie. It's because you're afraid of what will happen when that thing is out there. You're afraid of the responsibility that will come with that success. You're afraid of the pressure of the expectations people will have of you. So you're dressing it up as you just being mindful and honoring your own timeline, but it's something else. So I call myself out when I need to, yet I will still honor my own timeline. Sometimes it is just not the right time, but you can still move the needle forward in some shape or form. So for me, 2023 and beyond, whether it becomes year 24, 25, 26, 27, and so on, I will never, ever allow myself to disengage from that mindset of understanding that I am in this for the long haul. There is no rush, especially when it comes to cultivating my voice and my mission and refining my ideas and doing the work that I need to do. There is no rush. If I ever get the nudge, which I rarely do,
of feeling like I need to constantly share something on social media. I need to constantly be visible so people don't forget about me. Or if you have that, because a lot of the people that I work with, even people that are hyper visible, people that are very well known, they are driven by this thing of feeling irrelevant, of thinking that they need to be there every single day, otherwise people will forget. That's scarcity. And it happens on a very subconscious level, because outside looking in, they love to be on social media. They love to share. They love to be present because they have things that they want to talk about, right? But when you look beneath, one of the things that could be driving that behavior is because they feel like if they step back, people will forget about them. It's because somewhere along the way, they dropped the mindset and the knowing that they are in it for the long haul. What is yours will always be yours. And yes, you can still balance that insight and self-understanding with actual action of realizing that if you are in business, if you are in the work of ideas, if you are someone that has a platform, yes, you do have to be present in some way, but you can do it in your own way and you can do it on your own terms without stepping out of integrity. And I'm always reminding myself that. For example, and I'll use a very specific example. This year, well, last year now, I haven't really shared much on social media. And I've always been so intentional about what I share, when I share, and how I do it. For the past 6 years, I've been very consistently showing up on social media, sharing my insights, allowing my voice to develop out loud, changing my mind about things, questioning things. My work has evolved in the most wonderful ways, and I've done it out loud on social media. But I have never forced myself to share. I've never forced myself to be omnipresent. If something doesn't feel right, and I'm not talking about me just not feeling like it, so not doing that, because I'm also an entrepreneur, I'm very business-minded, I'm someone that values education and the role that I do play as an educator on some level, I value all of those things. So I do understand that it's not always about my feelings, right? But at the same time, I will never force myself to do something that doesn't feel true. I will never allow myself to buy into this idea that me not sharing means I'm suddenly irrelevant. No, no. The work that I do needs time and attention and intentionality. So you have to be mindful of those sort of thought pathogens that just make you believe that you have to be doing certain things in order to be validated and seen and respected. But at the same time, the actions you're taking mean that you're really unfulfilled. You're not fulfilled because you're being driven by scarcity. So you can honor your own timeline and do things in your own way without being passive. Please remember that. Please remember that. So this year, last year, I'm still getting used to this transition. Last year, I didn't post as much because behind the scenes, it was much more important for me to research, and I'm also writing a book. So I want to test my ideas. I want to refine them. I want to speak to people behind the scenes. I want to speak to my audience privately through email or DMs. I want to put out thought-provoking questions and then see what people are saying, and that can inform my ideas and some of the things that I want to explore. And that has required me to be more silent. It has required me to be in observation mode. And I have been in absolute bliss living in that space. You know why? Because I'm in this for the long haul. I don't need to be showing up doing dances that I don't want to do on TikTok or doing things just so I'm relevant. I don't need to be doing any of that because I'm very serious about what I'm here to actually do. So there will be times where I'm not there, and that is okay. And I'm so lucky that I've cultivated an audience that understands that, because they're also people that value honoring your own timeline. And I know that you're also one of those people. So I really invite you to do that, but do not be fucking passive. This is not a permission slip to be passive. It's a permission slip to honor your own timeline without honoring your bullshit. Okay? All right, let's have a sip of tea for that one. Something else that I am going to be doing, and this is more on a more practical level, actually. I'm really going to make sure that I'm not paying too much attention to what other people are doing. And why I say this is practical is because I've been thinking about where do I really hang out? I know where I hang out in my day-to-day life and the people that I see. To be honest, I mainly hang out at home. I'm a huge homebody and I love my sanctuary. I love my space. Every day that I wake up, I express just immediate unconscious gratitude for my home. And I'm always here. I invite people here. I will feed my friends and we'll sit down on the floor and we'll share some tea and we'll talk for hours. So I'm usually always home. So that's a physical space that I spend a lot of my time in. But I also love going for a beautiful lunch, dinner, or breakfast. I just love being in beautiful spaces, right? So I know where I am physically and the people that I'm with and what I'm doing, but another area where I spend a lot of my time is social media. A big part of my work is sharing my ideas, but not just behind the scenes and with my clients and when I do events, it's on social media. So I need to make sure that I'm cultivating and curating that space so that it actually supports my long-term goals and it also supports my day-to-day life. So culling my following list is what I'm referring to as the most practical thing that I'll be doing. And I do this every year. To be honest, I do it maybe every couple of months to make sure that I'm following people that actually nourish me, people that I find to be inspiring. Also, sometimes I won't follow people that... It might even be people that I admire, but maybe our work is too similar. And because I'm a writer and an idea generator, I know that, you know, it's very rare that anyone has a very original idea, but I like to make sure that I am trying my very best for my ideas to be original and unique to me, right? So I think because so many things soak in, you can find yourself maybe starting to imitate someone's voice, someone's speaking style, the language someone uses. I've never found this to be the case for me and my work, but you never know what can happen on a subconscious level. So some people who I can admire, I might end up actually muting them on Instagram just so I can make sure that I'm focusing on my own voice, my own creations, and not accidentally adopting someone else's way of doing things. So on a practical level, that's something that I would suggest. Even if you're not someone that creates in the way that I do or shares in the way that I do, what you can take from this is the importance of not paying too much attention to what other people are doing. Focus on creating. We consume so much. Focus on creating or just surrounding yourself with people that offer different things. For example, I basically don't follow any coaches or anyone in that industry because I'll be very honest, it doesn't interest me as much in terms of what other people's work is, but I follow people that are scientists, I follow people that are artists, people that are very committed to mastering their craft and just have something unique and interesting to say. And I find that to be deeply inspiring, not just on a personal level, but also it inspires me to do better work. So that's something that I would recommend for you as well. Again, even if you're not a creator, even if you're not someone that puts their ideas out there publicly, just curate who you're following. And sometimes you might realize that you've outgrown the people you were following. And I might even be included in that. Maybe my message resonated at some point on social media, but maybe now it doesn't so much. So you find that you're not really resonating in the same way. I invite you to unfollow. It's something practically that you can really, really do, and it makes a difference because our digital home is where we now spend a lot of our time, whether we like it or not. So you have to value it in the same way that I would hope you do your real life relationships with people. So that's something that I will be doing, just going through who am I following, what do they offer, how does it make me feel. I don't want to follow people that make me feel angry or people that intimidate me, but I feel like I have to follow them because we've met in person or it's just, no, it's nothing personal. You have to, or maybe it is personal and that's fine. But you just have to create your environment because it does, on a subconscious level, you would never realize it consciously for the most part, but on a subconscious level, it really does make some kind of impact on your overall well-being and your process of creation and thinking and generating new ideas and expressing yourself. So that is very, very important. And it's one of the recommendations I make to my friends and to my clients and to myself as well. And one of the other things that I will put forward in terms of what I will be personally doing to disengage from urgency culture, but to just also create an environment that feels good for me, is that I'm going to come back to that word. Really, this idea of simplifying is huge, because simplifying to me is the, what's the word? Antithesis of urgency culture, right? Because urgency culture tells us that we need more, that we need to do more, that we need to have more. Even when we're dressing everything up as, oh, just rest, self-care, you find yourself doing even more. The to-do list gets longer. You can simplify. And this is how I think of it, because I am someone that has high standards. I have high standards for myself. I have high standards for my clients. I will always hold you as your most powerful self. And generally speaking, I do have high standards. I like nice things. I'm a very simple person, but I like nice things. I do like comfort. I do like ease, but I also like discomfort. Okay? Multiple things can and do exist at the same time. But what I'm talking about here is something that I really also started to take on board. I would say when I got sober, I think I started to take a lot of these mindsets on board. Simplify and go deeper. You don't have to try and change five things at the same time. Drop it to focusing on doing one thing very well, which is where the deeper part comes in. I have a lot of things that I want to do. I have a lot of big, wonderful, audacious, bold things that I want to do and will do. But I also acknowledge that I don't have to do them all at the same time. I can do one thing very fucking well and go very deep with it and gain my confidence and be grounded in who I am and what I am doing, and then move on to the next thing instead of trying to do every single thing at the same time and then become overwhelmed and then end up burnt out and then end up self-sabotaging and then. So you can simplify and go deeper. Even in my relationships, I love meeting new people. I really do. And just because of the way my work is and my profile and the people that I meet a lot of people. But I value my closest relationships. Now and again, I do meet people that instantly we just click and we go deep and I want this person in my life and I will nurture that relationship. But it can be overwhelming trying to be deep with so many people. So I just personally don't do it. I want to nurture my existing relationships and go deeper. This is where the simplifying and going deeper comes in. When I think about my interpersonal relationships. And maybe this is something you can also do. Look at the people that are currently in your life, whether it's one person or two people, three people, or a handful of people. Instead of trying to look at, and I'm not saying don't form new connections, because of course that's a wonderful thing. Of course that is important. But look at the people that you have in your life that maybe you could nurture the relationship that you have with them more and go deeper in those relationships. Really have your roots intertwined where you know each other, where you know that if you're having a hard time, you know that these people will be there for you. You know that they can hold your vulnerability, but they can also hold your power and your glory, and you can do the same for them. So for me, I don't want to be looking at what's new and shiny. I want to nurture. I even made a list and I titled it, I'm looking at it right now on my documents. I named it my nurture list, and I wrote a list of the people that are already in my life, or even some new connections that I feel there's something really wonderful here. And I want to make sure that I nurture those relationships. And for me, that's part of my process of simplifying and going deeper. And I invite you to try that. I really, really do. And one of the last things that I will share with you in terms of what I am doing, and by the way, even if it doesn't seem like it, all of these things I'm talking about are a big part of rejecting urgency culture. The culture that says you need to be meeting so many people, you need to be out there and doing this and blah, blah, blah. You can still put yourself out there, okay? And still be very intentional about where your energy is going. Who gets to experience you? What people do you want to experience? Making sure that your life is actually spacious enough to be able to give time to people. So it does require you to simplify. It really, really does. And even as I say that word, I can just feel my body relaxing, because for me as a person, that is what I need. I don't want to do it all. I don't want to be here, there, and everywhere. I want to be very intentional. And if it means, you know, having less people around me, but deeper connections, then that's exactly what I will do. And that's exactly what I love. That's just who I am as a person, actually. I would rather just have that level of simplicity. I don't need to do too much. I really don't need to do too much. And I really don't need much. But again, I have very, very high standards, and I have no plans of dropping them anytime soon. But I really don't need much, and I don't need to do too much either. So please take this as an opportunity to just look at the people that you have in your life and just think about even a few relationships that you would like to pour more into without overexerting yourself in any shape or form. And the last thing that I will put forward in terms of what I will be doing and really stepping into this year and beyond is something that I'm pretty much talking about now, but I just want to bring it to the forefront in a clearer way, is that if there's anything the past year or past couple of years has told me, is the importance of adjusting your expectations. Adjusting your expectations without lowering your standards. Let me say that again. Adjusting your expectations without lowering your standards. I have seen the importance of this time and time and time again, whether it's in romantic relationships, platonic friendships, with family, with clients, with business partners, with project partners, with things that I'm invited to do, even with strangers, even with myself, especially with myself. I have realized that lowering my standards is not something that I will ever do. And at the same time, I am willing to adjust my expectations, because sometimes your expectations are unreasonable. What you expect from yourself and other people, sometimes it is just unreasonable. As a self-aware person, it is so important to be able to use your discernment. It's important to be able to say, actually, I'm expecting way too much from this person. They've shown me by how they behave, how they speak, they're showing me who they are, yet I'm still expecting them to behave in this way. So I need to adjust my expectations, but I will not lower my standards. Maybe it just means that I'm not in relationship with this person. Maybe it just means now I know where I stand with this person. And that's something that I've really had to be like, huh, okay, now I know. Now I know. And it doesn't make them bad. It doesn't make me good. It just means now I know. So I can adjust my expectations accordingly. But it just reminds me that, okay, my standards are my standards. And I value them. And I understand that they're not unreasonable in any shape or form. It's just that I've had certain expectations of people and they haven't been able to meet them. And that's fine. But it just means now I have new information, and that information allows me to make decisions accordingly. Right? So this has been a big lesson for me. And you can take that and apply it into your life as you need to. And because only you know the details of your life, right? But that has been a big lesson for me, to be reminded that my standards are my standards. Everyone gets to have their own standards, right? But you need to have enough self-awareness to know when you need to adjust your expectations. And a big part of pushing back against urgency culture and pressure, feeling like you need to be and do all of these things all at once before you're 30, when you're 30, by the time you're 40, just adjust your expectations of yourself. What are you expecting from yourself? Are you expecting to have it all figured out right now? Are you expecting to be at the top of the game, at the top of your game, rather, when you're at the beginning of your game, which is something that I always say to my perfectionists out there? Because we expect ourselves to have it all fucking figured out when we're doing it for the first time or second time or third time, fourth time, when repetition is power, but we're not allowing ourselves to repeat it enough because we expect it to be perfect. Adjust your fucking expectations. What a beautiful gift to give to yourself. So watch out for those moments where your expectations could be adjusted a little bit without you having to be out of integrity, without you needing to do something that will make you end up being resentful. That's not what we're talking about here. We're just talking about increasing your self-awareness, giving yourself space and time, reminding yourself that there is no rush. You don't need to rush other people either. You don't need to force other people to behave in a way that is not natural to them. And you don't have to accept being forced to behave in a way that is not natural to you. So you don't have to lower your standards, but you can absolutely adjust your expectations accordingly. And that has been a huge lesson for me in the past couple of years. So I really hope all of that has been helpful. And if anything has resonated, please tell me what that thing is. Whether you want to send me an email, you can send it at hello@africabrooke.com, or you can send it to me on LinkedIn or social media. Take a little screenshot of you listening to this and tag me on your stories. I always appreciate that, so I can also say hello. So thank you so much for your time and for your attention. And if you haven't rated this podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please just take a little second to do that now. Please, it makes a huge difference. It really, really does. And every time that I see the little number go up bit by bit of the people that have rated the podcast, I'm always so grateful. It's a small action that has profound meaning for me. And it allows for other people to see that there's actually some value here, which also means a great deal. So thank you so much. And again, I thank you for your time and for your attention. Please know that I do not take it for granted. And I look forward to being with you in the next episode. Take care.